by David. When you look at the 103rd Psalm and take it in the context of the whole book of Psalms, you notice how truly lovely it really is. It's a common psalm. Probably many of the children here have memorized it at some point or another. Perhaps some of you use it in your daily devotions at home as part of your prayer or something else, but we know it well. David here, already in our text in verse 2, explains that the Lord gives these benefits. Now he's going to take the rest of the psalm, verse after verse after verse, and he's going to unwrap for us all of those benefits. So you go to verse 3, there's one, and then you go to verse 4, more benefits, and then verse 5, more and more and more. You only get a taste then of the blessed heights that this psalm brings you to in the first two verses, but it's a very nice taste. I came across this quotation in connection to Psalm 103 that I bring to your attention. Our attempt at exposition of the psalm is commenced under an impressive sense of the utter impossibility of doing justice to so sublime a composition. We call upon our soul and all that is within us to aid us in the pleasurable task. But alas, our soul is finite and all of our mental faculty far too little for the enterprise. There is too much in the psalm for a thousand pens to write. It is one of those all-comprehending scriptures, which is a Bible in itself. Indeed. We take as our theme then of these two verses, first two, bless the Lord, O my soul. Take that under 3 points. The first one is the reason why we say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then second, the meaning. What does that mean? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then third, the need for saying that. The reason, the meaning, the need. There is a reason that the psalmist David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. In the first place, this reason is that David knew who the Lord was, who he is. It's always a temptation to race immediately to the benefits that he gives. Well, we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, because he gives us so many things. We're going to be coming to benefits, but don't start there. Start with who he is. This God, the God about whom we read in Psalm 103, his name is Jehovah. That's who he is. You are well aware that the word Lord in all capital letters is the name Jehovah. So the psalmist says, bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Jehovah is the covenant God. When you think of that name Jehovah, that's one of the first things that needs to flash into your mind, because this is the outstanding name of being the covenant God. We're all familiar with what the covenant is. Relationship of friendship that God establishes with his elect people in Jesus Christ. Jehovah has established with you and with me, and he's established with David, this relationship of friendship so that we stand in this close, intimate communion with him. Jehovah, covenant God. Isn't that at least partly why at the end of verse 1, bless his holy name. God has a name. He's not a thing and he's not an impersonal it. but he's a living, conscious God who has a name because he reveals himself to us, and he has a name because he's able to stand in a relationship with us, and we're able then to know him as God who has a name. He's the covenant God. He's Jehovah. When you skip ahead a few verses in the Psalm, we're told explicitly that he's the God of his covenant. Verse 18, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. That's the kind of God he is. Our covenant friend, sovereign. When you survey all the verses in the Psalm, that becomes evident, doesn't it? Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. But they're all covenant blessings or benefits of his covenant that he has bestowed upon us. That's who he is. Jehovah, covenant God. As this one whose name is Jehovah, he's also sovereign. Now you've added something else to your knowledge of what you should think of when you read Lord in all capital letters. Covenant, but also sovereign. All powerful is Jehovah. He reigns over absolutely everything in the universe. When it comes to the whole arena of salvation, especially, he's sovereign. He's in control. There's no man that will ever lift up his hand and say to God, no. Not able to resist him. Sovereign in Jesus Christ. That sovereignty of Jehovah bubbles up all over in these verses. Verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. The Lord executes that judgment because he's the sovereign God. All powerful he reigns. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's the one who is there as that God who's sovereign. He's Jehovah. Covenant God, sovereign God. And now here's one other piece of knowledge that you add when you read this name, Jehovah. He's unchanging. That's the God. That's who he is. Is that his very name? I am that I am. There it is. Jehovah. From eternity to eternity, all throughout time and outside of time. He doesn't change. He's the God who lives outside of time. So when it comes to our salvation in Jesus Christ, our God will never move one inch with all of the promises that he has made to us as they center in his Son. He doesn't change. Now go back to the Psalm. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. The Lord is never going to change from that mercy that he has toward you. Verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know your sins? You know the woe and the misery that you have in your sins? The mighty Jehovah is never, based on circumstances or because of your sin, going to look at you and say, I was pitiful toward you like a father, but now I think I'm done doing that because I've run out of my patience with you. He doesn't ever change in his pity. Unchanging Jehovah. Now pause. Can you even conceive of the fact that this God whose name is Jehovah, sovereign, unchanging, is your God, establish that relationship with you so that you stand in intimacy with Him. That's amazing. But there's a little bit more in the text which tells us who this God is. At the end of verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Our God has a name, and His name is holy. You have names too, and I have a name, but our names are a lot different than God's because they're just mere identifications or labels that help to distinguish you from me and you from each other. But your name doesn't tell me anything about who you truly are. God's name is different. He is His name. And in this context of verse 1, we know that the name of God is Jehovah. God's name is different because He is His name, but His name reveals to us who He truly is. Now you say, bless the Lord, bless His holy name. If His name shows or manifests all of His attributes, it manifests this one too. His holiness shows us that He's a holy God. If I were to ask you to define what it means that God is holy, probably most of you would say, well, that means that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. He's without sin and He's completely pure and spotless. And I would say, yes, that's what it means that God is holy. That's certainly not missing from Psalm 103 either. But on the foreground, at the front, that God is holy is this. He is transcendent. Our God Jehovah is so high and so lifted up that He's infinitely exalted above you and me. He's infinitely exalted above the whole universe. Our God sits on the throne as the King. He's majestic and He's awesome. You may use that word when you talk about God. Our God is an awesome God. He's holy. Holy. Verse 19 and following. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When you come to the end of the psalm, it just reinforces that God is transcendent. He's holy. Look at all of His angels standing just to do His service. That is who God is. Holy Jehovah. In the second place, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. It begins here for who God is. But you have to come to His benefits too. Bless the Lord, O my soul, because of all of the things that He gives to. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Oh, bless Him because He's given us so much. These benefits of the Lord are the good things in all of their bounty that He has dealt out to us or He's given to us. Good things. You don't have to be held in suspense as to what these good things are, these benefits that He's bestowed upon us, because already when you come to verse 3, it gives you the first one. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Here you have the benefit that God gives, the outstanding and basic benefit, the forgiveness of sins. Look what God has given to us, that He pardons your guilt. As the great judge of heaven and earth, He delivers this verdict and He declares to your inmost being, not guilty. He imputes to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ and He delivers this verdict to your consciousness, this declaration, I see you just as if you had never sinned. Righteous! What a benefit that God gives. Forgiveness of sins. We understand that all of His benefits, but this one particularly comes for the sake of Christ. You know what His name means? Jesus, Jehovah, salvation. God imputed to Jesus the guilt of our sins. He labored strenuously under the heavy weight of our guilt, and the fiery wrath of God for all of our sins came pouring down upon Him. But that wrath upon Jesus on account of our sins became concentrated at the cross, so that finally there He hung in those 3 hours swimming in the hellish agonies of God's wrath for all of our sins. Coming under the punishing wrath of God, He satisfied God's justice with respect to our sins. Not only then has He taken all that punishment so that we don't have to know it, but God has then imputed us to us the righteousness, obedience, and all the holy works of Jesus Christ to our account. He's reckoned that over to us. Outstanding benefit of the forgiveness of sins. But there's more. Verse 3. Who healeth all thy diseases. If the first part of verse 3 is justification, forgiveness of sins, then the second part of verse 3 is sanctification. He healeth my diseases, David says, that inward work by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, whereby He heals that disease of sin, that He cleanses that inward pollution and defilement, causes David not only, but you and me, to walk on that path of holiness before Him, in a life of glory to Him, sanctification. You don't even have to go past verse 3 to realize how complete these benefits of the Lord are. Justification and sanctification, there's so much. But it keeps on going. Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He redeems with the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, redeems my life from destruction. Do you want a crown? Here's a crown. Loving kindness and tender mercies. And they don't end there. We don't have the time tonight to go verse after verse, but there they are all throughout the Psalms. So many blessings that He has bestowed. And it's all out of mercy. The golden chain that ties the whole psalm together is mercy. Read it again tonight when you get home. How many times does that word show up? That the Lord Jehovah has tender, soft compassion upon you in your woe and in your misery and sin. He has a desire within Him to deliver you from that woe. And then by the power of his mercy, he stoops and he actually picks you up and delivers you out of that misery and makes you eternally blessed and happy. His mercy. So that it's out of his mercy that he forgives our sins, and out of his mercy that he heals our diseases, delivers our, redeems our life from destruction, and all of the rest, the mercy of the Lord. How good and gracious is Jehovah. These benefits are bountiful. Like I said, all you have to do is read through the psalm to get the idea of that. But now look at the word benefits itself. It's in the plural. Because David is communicating by inspiration of the Holy Spirit just how many there really are benefits. That's why he says, bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits, all of them, because they're like this huge, weighty mass, this huge pile of benefits, and he just unloads them on us, blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. All thy benefits. It's interesting that this word benefits is the same word as ripe in the Old Testament, as in a grape that becomes ripened on the grain. And it's the same word as weaned, as in a child that's weaned of drinking milk from its mother. A grape is ripened when it completes its process of maturing on the vine, and a child that's weaned of his mother has completed drinking milk from her. And just that way, these benefits of the Lord are so full, they're so complete, because there's so many. Bountiful. All of these many good things Jehovah has given, he's dealt out. It's so important that we remember that, because then we know it's not anything that I've done or contributed. The source of it all is in him. Then we understand that all of these benefits are undeserved. Who's the psalmist here? A sinner. Who are we, sinners, the least deserving of any good thing that God would give us? And then if God is the one who deals all of these things out, then we realize too then that they're unmerited. I haven't done anything to earn by anything I've done these things. But the source of them is in God. He's given them graciously of his free favor upon us in Jesus Christ. All of these blessings have been earned by Christ at his cross. And now the Christ who is rich in himself, God bestows these blessings in him upon us. They're dealt out. They're given. Doesn't that show exactly why this is so sweet to us? What he hasn't given to us? What God has not dealt out to you is punishment. That's what we do deserve. And where he will not send you is to suffer the torments in the flames of hell forever and ever. Merciful is Jehovah, who loads his benefits upon us. Here's the psalmist then. He has all of these thoughts coursing through his mind and his heart. This is who God is then. He's Jehovah, covenant, sovereign, unchanging God. This is who he is, the holy God who's infinitely exalted above the universe. And this is the kind of God he is, that he has loaded us with all these benefits like the forgiveness of sins and heals diseases and on and on. And the psalmist, when he's considering all of these things, cannot contain himself. But now he's a man who's so overwhelmed that he can't help but say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And he's so amazed and taken in by it all that he doesn't say it just once. He doesn't say it just twice. He says it three times. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Because he staggers at who he is and what he's done. He has to marshal everything that's found with him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He has to marshal all the parts of his being to this worship of the Lord because he's so amazed. Are you overwhelmed tonight? I don't ask whether you have thought intellectually about these benefits, whether you have been struck by a point here or there about the blessings that God gives and who He is. Are you overwhelmed? And are you so taken in and amazed by all that God is and all that He's given that you, like the psalmist, as you sit here tonight, say, "Bless the Lord." And I can't just say it once in my heart. I have to say it three times or more. And do you, like the psalmist, being so amazed, do you call upon all that is in you as you sit here tonight to bless His holy name? We must be overwhelmed. There's a part of the Lord's Supper form at Peace Church. We celebrated the Lord's Supper last week. There's a part of the form that you read after you have partaken of the supper. Have the elements passed out, you partake of them, and then continue reading at the form. And this is what it says. "Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise His holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." That's one of my favorite parts in the whole of the Lord's Supper form, as beautiful as all of it is. We've just come to that covenant meal of the Lord, and we've seen just how many benefits He loads upon us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And now, heart bubbling over, you can't help it. You have to say that in your heart. Bless Him. David is here exhorting his soul. He's exhorting his soul. That's why it's in the form that it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You might say this. He's having a conversation with himself and in himself, commanding his soul to do this. And the purpose of David having this self-conversation or this exhortation of his soul is that he might excite himself to the worship of the Lord. He wants to stir his soul up to praise Him. So he's exhorting himself. How often do you talk to yourself? Exhort your soul. Of course, this exhortation of his soul was directed by the Holy Spirit. And this exhortation itself proceeded out of a regenerated heart in which Jesus Christ lived, a heart that He had made alive. But he spoke to himself. David exhorted his soul
Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then the second part is parallel to that. And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
We ought not to be too narrow here when it turns in terms of what the soul is, what he's exhorting, because the very next line is all that is within me. So David really includes here all the parts of his being, every single part of what makes him up on the inside. And he says, to all of himself, bless the Lord. You could say it this way. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my mind, with all of my thoughts. Bless the Lord, O my will, with everything that I will and everything that I desire. And bless the Lord, O my emotions and O my heart, all that I am, be involved with worshiping him. So that you can tell for David, not only, but for us, that this blessing of the Lord is all comprehensive. It involves everything that we are, but it's genuine. Anytime you come to church and the worship that you bring, your singing and whatever else, anytime it's on the outside and it's just an exterior matter, that's hypocritical worship. For David, for us, it did and it must start here. And it will flow out, but it must be here. That's genuine worship. Because David was exhorting his soul and all that is within him, it was intensely personal too, wasn't it? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David is not so much concerned right now and here with everyone else in church, although he'll have that concern, and we must have that concern that we exhort others to do this. But it begins with me. I must bless the Lord first. He exhorted his soul to bless. Bless. By commanding all that is within him to bless the Lord, he was not trying to make Jehovah more blessed than he already is. That's impossible, because he's infinitely and eternally the blessed God, and he is that apart from any relationship even to the creature. He's blessed. And how will a lowly creature of the dust like David or like you, much less a sinner, add anything to him? That's impossible. Nevertheless, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. That is, soul and all that is within me, get down on your knees. Get down on your knees in reverence and humility and submission before this God who is holy, before this God whose name is Jehovah and who's so great. And get down on your knees, soul, and all that is within me, before the God who has loaded upon you all these benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, while you're down there on your knees. Declare, proclaim that he is in and of himself, eternally and infinitely, the blessed God. And while you're down on your knees, declare and proclaim that he's the one who's the blesser too, that he's the one who gives you all of these things. He's the source. And then while you're down on your knees, declare and proclaim them individually, one by one. He has forgiven my sins. He has healed my diseases. He has redeemed me from destruction, and on and on and on. Bless the Lord, O my soul, while you're down on your knees in humility and submission, proclaiming who he is and what he's given. Worship him and thank him and praise him. Isn't that what it all comes down to? Worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This exhortation of the soul is needed. Absolutely necessary.
David knows how necessary it is, lest he forget
the benefits of the Lord. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If even David knew the danger of forgetting what the Lord has given, certainly you and I have to be vigilant of that too, because it happens so easily. This forgetting is not merely a mental lapse of memory. Tomorrow, mothers, you're sitting at the lunch table and you get up with a start. I forgot my child's doctor's appointment. I can't believe I forgot that. A mental lapse. This is not that. This forgetting is spiritual coldness toward God. You might say it's a spiritual amnesia. How easily it happens. You and I ought to be ashamed how little the forgiveness of sins really moves us. How many times do I pray and hear others pray, and I say or they say, forgive our sins for Jesus' sake, amen. Those words, how often they don't even mean anything to me. It just is an indicator that the prayer is almost done. And I'm not moved in the core of my being at the fact that God declares to me not guilty, and that He declares to me righteous in my sight. That ashames me. When it comes to God healing our diseases, that wonderful work of sanctification, making us holy and cleansing us and setting us on that way of holiness, how often do we really think about what a wonder work of God that is by the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us, and how often we appreciate that so little? And then the morning time. How cold we can be toward God when we wake up in the morning. Alarm clock goes off. And I reach for my phone. I reach for my phone the first thing that I grab in the morning. Instead of grabbing the Word of God and waking up with the Word and starting my day with the Word, how could I possibly start the day with my phone or in some other way? How cold I can be toward God. Seeing this holy, great God, and He's bestowed all these benefits, I had better than wake up with His Word. How easily we forget. Then when it comes to all the trials of life and the busyness of life, it's not even just that we're not always on our knees, but we can even become bitter and angry and impatient with God. Why are all these things happening? I don't understand. Oh, I forget. How gracious and merciful my great God truly is. I need to be down on my knees, but I forget. That ought not to be a surprise to us, because we know that the old man of sin dwells yet with us, within us. He doesn't reign anymore, because that new man in Christ is in us. He reigns. But the old man is still there. That explains why the Christian life is so often like a roller coaster. You can be up here today, on your knees, saying with the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then tomorrow, you can coast all the way down here, sometimes for reasons that you cannot yourself explain. I don't know why, but the Christian life goes in cycles. I forget. That old man we contend against every day. The Holy Spirit gives us the antidote. And here it is. You have to exhort your soul by God's grace and by His working of His Spirit in you. Say to your soul and all that is within you, just like David does in verse 2, forget not all His benefits. And then go to verse 1 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And don't just say that once, but say that every day and say it multiple times a day so that constantly you're stirring yourself up to this worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I do that because I never want to forget Him. Ever. Then you understand that with that exhortation of the soul, there is embedded in it a prayer. Lord, forgive my sins of forgetting Thee. Forgive. And what's one of His benefits in Jesus Christ? He does. He forgives our sins. And then, embedded in that exhortation of the soul is another prayer. Lord, give me grace then. Because I can't do this of myself. Give me grace, Thy Holy Spirit, so that I might never forget Thee, and that I might every day bless Thee. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray for that grace then. Give us the strength to bless Thee at all times, humility and reverence, and worshipful proclamation of who Thou art and what Thou hast done. And Lord, forgive then our sins. So often we are ashamed at how little these things mean to us. Forgive. And stir us up anew to serve Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.